life goes on. Your lives, my life, the fellowship's life. Since I left 4.5 years ago, babies have been born. Loved ones have died. Marriages have started. Marriages have ended. Severe illnesses have struck. There are people who moved away from here. There's people who moved on. And there's new people. When I returned 2 years ago for Reverend Christina's installation, it was so great to see some new faces. And I see more new faces today. I'm so glad. I would not want it any other way. So my life, my own life, has gone on in poignant ways over these 4.5 years. There have been black rivers of loss and joys of amazing wonder and lots of stuff in between. Less than a month after I left here, a heart attack took the life in the middle of the night of my best friend from middle school. His death caused my own mortality to feel a little closer. And the thought occurred to me that my ministry here could have ended the same way his ministry ended. I'm glad for you, and especially me, that wasn't the case. And I have to say that, yeah, I was feeling a little sorry for myself, but that gave me some much-needed perspective. So my wife, Amy, and our son, Ian, attended my friend Chuck's memorial service at the Staten Island Episcopal Church, a church he loved so deeply and that once in a while drove him nuts. His wife invited me to participate in the clergy processional. I had not brought a robe, so she said, "You can use Chuck's robe." And then after, she said, "You can have Chuck's robe." Amy's mother died early the year after I left here. My dad died 15 months ago, completing a 7-year span where we lost all 4 of our parents. And right now, my grief about my dad's passing, because he was so into music, he was a music director, organist, pianist, I yearn to share my musical joys with him, like hearing the choir a few minutes ago. Like hearing Dan. So less than 5 months after Dad died, Amy and I suddenly became grandparents. And beautiful, beautiful Holly arrived. So the death of a parent, the arrival of your first grandkid, yeah, life goes on, right? This is the nature of life. And I appreciate now more than I ever did before about life in a congregation that it's like an ever-flowing mountain stream. So I stepped into the flowing stream of this fellowship in 1990, and I stepped out in 2015. But the stream flowed before I came, and it flows on after I left. This being the nature of life doesn't necessarily make this easy. Or something that doesn't hurt. For me, leaving the fellowship has had moments of joy and moments of hurt, and I know it's been difficult for some of you. For me, it's been more difficult in some ways than I would like to have imagined. Among other things, I've struggled with the precipitous loss of status. I went from having a pretty central role in the community with the TSA officer saying, "Good morning, Pastor," with Dave's bank teller, to being a complete and utter nobody in the big city of St. Louis. So we have a friend in St. Louis who's an acquaintance of Nick Hoffman. Nick was one of the workers at the History Museum here. Moved to St. Louis to become like second in command of the History Museum there. And at a dinner one day, this mutual acquaintance of ours said, "Wow, Roger, Nick said you really used to be somebody." Yeah, Nick said, like, you were the Susan Talvey of Appleton, and Rabbi Susan Talvey is the minister, the rabbi of the most social justice-oriented congregation in the St. Louis area. Now, I don't know that he did this, but I felt like then he gave me a look of pity like, what happened? And I've struggled at times with what my relationship has meant, how my exit affected my relationship with many of you. And I want to acknowledge that there's hurt and pain there as well. It's not easy for me or you for me to be 100% in the stream and then not. So here I am back to acknowledge and to celebrate another transition in my relationship to you. I'm now the emeritus minister of this congregation. I don't really know what an emeritus minister is, and you've never had one. So we'll figure it out. But what I do know is that it is more symbolic than anything, and that's cool. It's a great honor. I'm so grateful for this weekend, for Reverend Christina, Reverend Leah, everybody who put this weekend together. But the reality here is not any different than it was last week, that you have two ministers, Reverend Christina, Reverend Leah. My relationship with you will look more like these last 4.5 years, a lot more like that than the 25 years before. But something's different. In this emeritus role, I have a role model, actually an anti-role model. So when I was a junior in high school, the minister of my childhood church announced his retirement. He'd been there 45 years. He was immediately granted emeritus status. He stayed in the area. He stayed involved in the congregation. He undermined the ministry of his successor. He led the effort to fire the next minister. And 40 years later, although he has been dead for 15 years, his legacy continues to keep that church stuck, looking backward nostalgically. That congregation, compared to when I look out here today, that congregation is 85% over the age of 50. It used to have 2,000 members. Now it's smaller than this fellowship. Folks, that's not how I want this to go. So here are the two things that I most want to tell you today. First, that I love this congregation. I love all of you, even the people I've never met. And I feel like I am the luckiest former congregational minister in the world. Okay. Dottie Matthews, two of us, right? So a huge gargantuan, I run out of adjectives for this reason why, is that I feel so lucky and so blessed that I love the person you have picked to succeed me. I am so thrilled that Reverend Christina is here. She is an amazing minister. She's leading you skillfully, boldly, imaginatively into the next chapter of the fellowship. A chapter actually I myself couldn't quite see. I am really thrilled about this. And this is exactly what I hoped for, even before I or you knew the name of your new minister. So, yeah. So here are some beautiful, sometimes hard, sometimes liberating truths. I once was here, and now I'm not. I once was part of the wings that carried the fellowship literally and figuratively to a new place. Now I'm part of the roots. Reverend Dottie is part of the roots from which you and Reverend Christina and Reverend Leah are taking off into a beautiful new era. You are part of me. I am part of you. And this will always be true. Even when I breathe my last breath, even when the last person who remembers me dies. So in my coming here, in my staying, and in my leaving, I've tried to embody the words from Mary Oliver's poem, In Blackwater Woods. these words remain my spiritual North Star. To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing that your own life depends on it, and when the time comes to let it go, to let it go.
In the essay, After Running Through the Thistles, retired Unitarian Universalist minister Mark Morrison Reed reflects on what it all means when ministers leave a congregation they served faithfully. Where does this leave us as minister? He asks. In order to live in religious community, we must die to the ministry. I say this in hope, a hope more romantic than realistic, for I'm not sure it's possible. There is no ritual that will unordain us. I don't even know if I can stop, and I'm not sure others will let me. Still, I hold this hope in my heart. Someday, when I'm done ministering, not done being caring, human, and present, but rather done with bearing the primary responsibility for a religious community, I'll take off my stole, hang it around my colleague's neck, and say, "It's all yours, buddy." Then I will shed my beloved, worn pulpit gown, and with the robe, my role. Someday I'll minister no more. Someday I'll deepen the spiritual life I never quite make enough time for now. Someday I'll say no, even though I've known the bride since I dedicated her as an infant. Someday I'll sit in a memorial service and weep tears unchecked by the necessity of having to rise to deliver the eulogy. Someday, somewhere, I'll add my voice to the choir and sleep through the sermon if it bores me. I'm so glad we don't have that problem here. Someday I'll come early to set up my Sunday school class project and smile when the rascals charge down the corridor playing tag.
I thought this was going to get easier the second time around. That essay by the Reverend Mark Morrison Reed was given in the year 2000 to a gathering of Unitarian Universalist ministers through a lecture series called The Conference at Berry Street, which takes place every year. It is a chance for a selected minister to talk to their peers, other ministers, about the issues that they think are important. Morrison Reed was talking about what it means to leave a congregation after serving it. Since that essay was delivered almost 20 years ago, an entire generation of ministers, including me, has had to read that essay as part of our seminary training, and it's much, much longer than what you just heard. We learned from him the hard task it would be to love a congregation deeply and fully, and then have to say goodbye deeply and fully. Today, though, all over our Unitarian Universalist Association, I have colleagues like the one Roger described. Well, first of all, I have colleagues who, like me, went into search, found a congregation, were called, joyfully started their ministry, and then their colleagues, like the ones that Roger described, won't leave. They hang around. They question the decisions being made. They offer themselves helpfully to help with rites of passage, like weddings or funerals. But it's not helpful because then the congregation struggles to create a solid relationship with the new minister, to work faithfully on their shared ministry together because the minister that they already know and love is still here. I'm watching this happen to my colleagues and to our beloved sibling Unitarian Universalist communities around the country far more often than you would think, and it is really harmful. The ability to move forward into the future is completely hindered by these ministers who won't say goodbye well. I am so grateful that Roger has been the opposite. He came here in 1990 and he served you for almost 25 years. For many of you in this room, I know he performed your wedding. He blessed your children. He memorialized your loved ones. His ministry here was the turning point from this fellowship being primarily lay-led to one that embraces and supports professional ministry and the shared work of creating beloved community together. I know that Roger loved this community and loved you deeply. I know because he's a really good minister. And good ministers fall deeply in love with their congregations and with the people they serve. I know because this has happened to me. I have been here with you just a little over 2 years as your minister, and I love you so much. I don't mean that in a metaphorical, trite way. I love you. I love your stories and that you trust me with holding them. I love that you tell me when you're hurting or when something is wrong, even when I am the source of that pain. I love that you let me celebrate with you in your joys. I love that your children know me as one of their teachers or a trusted friend. I recently was told that a child here calls me their teacher from upstairs, up these few stairs. I love that. I love that when I look out from this pulpit, I see your faces and I know you. That I know which of you will laugh at the jokes that I'm going to tell. That which of you will be moved to tears by a particular story that I might share. I love that you have let me know you. And I love each of you more than you can know. And yet, the heartbreaking reality of this beautiful calling that I have chosen is that we ministers can commit ourselves deeply, all in, to the congregation that we serve, but we will never truly be a part of it. This congregation always has been about you, the members and the friends. The minister is only a trusted guest among you. A leader, a cheerleader, a supporter, but never truly of this fellowship. The fact that Roger was able to do what the Mary Oliver poem says is such a beautiful gift to you. He loved this place. He held it against his bones, knowing that his own life depended upon it. And when the time came to let it go, he let it go. The fact that I am here, that we're doing such amazing work together with Reverend Leah and all our staff and lay leaders, welcoming people, growing in mind and spirit, serving our community through justice making. This is a testament to the gift that Roger gave us, both through his ministry and through his leave taking. The fact that some of you have no idea who this guy is another testament to the way that his ministerial fingerprints are all over this place, but that his identity was not wrapped up into who you are as a community. That is a good, good thing. I'm so grateful that when I and Reverend Leah gather with our colleagues, that we have stories of health and vitality to share, not horror stories of fractured communities and a predecessor who can't let go. I aspire to learn as much from Roger's example as I ever did from Mark Morrison Reed's essay about what it means to honor a congregation through my own leave-taking when my own time comes, hopefully a long time from now. We are just now emerging out of such a big time of transition for this fellowship. This worship space is only a few years old, And because of this space, we have now shifted from having 4 services on a weekend, including one on Saturday, to having our 2 morning services. Thank you. Roger's leaving, and our 2 years of interim ministry that followed are done. The search process to call a new settled minister, me, is done. And I've now been here over 2 years. And I just remarked the other day to our staff team that all of a sudden it feels kind of like I've woken up. That I realize I know you. I know your names. I know your children's names. I know some stuff. When someone asks me who to call in the community for this or that issue, I realize I know the answer to that question sometimes. I can use the phone system in our office now correctly about 9 out of 10 times. It's more complicated than you would think. Our shared ministry together, which focuses on the ways that we can deepen our spiritual connections and relationships with each other, our outreach to the wider community, and our support of this place so that it continues to thrive for years to come. This is made possible because Roger was an important part of the roots of this fellowship. And then when it was time for him to move on, his wings allowed him to depart with love. This fellowship is deeply rooted in tradition and the many strengths that make us who we are. Roger's departure also gave us wings to help us fly beyond his particular tenure into the future where new things are possible. Today, we honor the story of this fellowship, its past, present, and future. We honor the challenges and joys of days gone by, the roots that hold us close. We honor today this present moment where the past and the future meet. And we honor tomorrow, the wings that set us free, the future where people who we have not yet met will come through those doors, where challenges in our community that we have not yet imagined will be engaged with love. May this be so. Amen.